Welcome to Natural Recovery from Suffering. This is Scott Killaby. When I was a little kid, I didn't understand that not questioning or not feeling like I could question my parents or adults or get angry or, for me, even defend myself. I didn't realize that I would grow into an adult who suffered because of that. You know, do you remember the first time where you learned that by just being good and just not saying something got you love? I mean, I learned it so early, I can't trace back the first memory. I remember when my sister and brother would go, when my mom and dad would go out of town, my sister and brother would sometimes hold parties for their friends. They were in high school, and I was younger, 10 years younger. And they would always tell me, don't tell mom and dad that we had this party. And I always loved the party because people were doing all these crazy things, and this was exposing me to a whole new world. But when mom and dad came home, I was split because I could tell that I had to be good. And that meant, like, should I tell my parents? But I had to be good to I had to be a good brother to my brother and sister. And I felt split about that. You ended up not telling my mom and dad. But it's just those memories when I'm not being good for mom and dad that I remember. Because there's just so many when I was just always being good, because I was, well, now I know, terrified of my own anger, because I was an anger repressor. I could not express that emotion, therefore I could not defend myself. I couldn't speak up when I needed to or question parents or anyone. And then, you know, I don't know about you if you're an anger repressor, but it's like being just quiet in groups around people, where it's like we don't realize it, but we're taking care of them and their feelings by not feeling and expressing what's true for us. But we can't, because we have buried anger. But it just looks at the surface like a disconnection from people and stories. This is why I talk about the iceberg. If you could imagine in your awareness an iceberg, below the water is the frozen fear from childhood of being our authentic self, the fear of expressing anger or hurt or whatever is buried, the fear of getting hurt again, all under the water of the iceberg. At the tip is everything we're experiencing. So if I experience, like I did when I was 20, I would be in a group of kids my age, and I just was just kind of frozen into self-consciousness. You know what I mean? I'm there, but I can't say anything. They're talking, most of them, but I can't. And I don't know why. And I kind of have this half smile on my face and then this other like perplexed look, like I don't know what to say. And I'm feeling super self-conscious inside, but I can't do anything or say anything. And I kind of just lived like that growing up. But how would I have ever known that being the tip of the iceberg, that buried in my body was the rage, the buried rage that made me show up like that at the surface? How could one know that when nothing in our culture points to it or our families? And in fact, we get love and approval and stay safe by burying these emotions. Not just from mom and dad. When I went to school, I just remember being as free as I could possibly be with buried anger and other things that I held back. And then that was crushed, it felt like, because the bullying that happened like for 3 years off and on just crushed that spirit in me that, well, now I know was my authentic self. But back then, it was just terrifying. I had to hide. It was very simple. Fear. The same fear that I found later in this work. The fear that drives us. But if I could just take you, just like if you could take me through your story, if we could have a projector here and you could just take me through it, if you're a people pleaser or a peacemaker or a perfectionist or a kid who just suffered but didn't know why and basically didn't get into conflict with people, then we could see that each of us has this main duality that we miss, including when we come to spirituality. And the main duality is this iceberg, you could say, but it's our own consciousness. And buried in the body is, like under the water, these fears of these emotions that we've buried in, of what, you know, again, the fear of something happening again, like childhood. And this is what's actually driving us. So as we told each other's stories, I could tell you more. I could show you, and you could find in your own body how the reason that you showed up that way, and that way, and that way, and that form of suffering, and that form of suffering, is all anger repression. But it just doesn't look like it. So let me take you through a few more parts so I can show it to you. God, I don't know where to start. My whole life came from the fear of being my authentic self, so everything is an example. But like I've told you, the example of getting the best mental attitude award in swimming in high school, because I never complained or blamed anybody. I never got angry at the coach. So we get rewarded, not just with social rewards, but I got love and approval for that. There's such a strong pull towards love, to getting love for an anger repressor, because we just don't know who we are. If we could live and embody and know who we are, we wouldn't need love like that. And we wouldn't be false at the surface to get that love. But we just don't know that. We just keep showing up and getting rewarded in different ways and suffering at the same time. So it's this tension between what do I get out of my suffering and do I want to know myself? Because we do want to know our authentic self. There's a pull towards that of knowing what we really are. But the conditioning in the body that's fear, that's driving this need for safety and the need for love, are so strong and they're so connected to the buried emotions. So if I went to college, when I went to college, the same thing happened. It's just that I didn't try to be any kind of bubbly self. In high school, I always had a smile on my face, which covered up the buried anger and the fear of humiliation happening again. But in college, I just wiped the smile off my face because I knew that it was false. And I was a musician and I started to explore my own self-expression. But socially and in relationship, I just kept, as I've said, choosing people, men who would not give me love back. And then I would show and feel hurt. And that too, if you can hear this, was because the identification with the feelings of hurt and woundedness, the identification with it came from the buried anger. It was safer for my consciousness to identify growing up with things like vulnerability, just like peace or being good or compassionate, than ever to get angry. So this trauma created suffering in my adult life. And I was giving to others. Now, let me explain this. Giving, over-giving to others. I mean, the false self is that, first of all. It's like putting up something that isn't true so you can get something. But see, it's like you're giving in that. You're disowning yourself. You're under-loving yourself or not loving yourself at all, not even knowing yourself. By paying attention to what other people think about us, or having to do that, being compelled to get their love and approval, we just don't know ourselves in that. See, if we could rewind childhood, I could give you more scenarios, but you've lived the life too. You know what codependency is. It's like being in a relationship and shit is happening and you can't say anything, but you want to. And you suffer. And then you go outside the relationship and try to find ways to suffer. And then you get a little bit of freedom. You want to help other people suffer. But all that's a substitute for the fact that your relationships have disconnection in them. And even when we try to fix or change or help the people in our relationships, that's the codependency. That's the buried anger. It's all there. It's the seeking. It drives the seeking for many people into spirituality. I don't want to keep giving scenarios. You guys have heard these stories. Let's rewind to childhood for a moment. For all of us, we never got the chance to discover what it's like, and it's possible to discover this. This is why I'm saying it. To discover, actually, not just that we're the awareness, which is very dry sounding from non-duality, but to truly discover what it's like to be yourself. Now, what would that look like? Well, it's not the ego consciousness. The ego consciousness, even the victim consciousness, the consciousness of lack and deficiency, comes from the unprocessed fear of being ourselves. The fear of expressing the buried anger, expressing the buried hurt. So we have these identities that come up in childhood. They essentially protect us from feeling and expressing the buried anger or hurt or sadness. And we get love and approval by playing small. That's another thing with buried anger, is just when you're a kid, being deficient. It's a very unconscious activity, but we have to create that to survive. And it's because of the buried emotions. So if we all have that experience in common, that we just started off by giving to others a version of ourself that they wanted to see, but it was still driven by needs that we had, which were needs for love, approval, and safety, underpinning all of that. And then because we didn't get those needs for love and safety and approval and attention and all of that met, if we were anger repressors, we stored that anger. We couldn't feel and express it. If we were hurt repressors, we stored that in the body. We couldn't feel and express it. Same with sadness. So this now, these repressed emotions are connected to these unmet needs. And now we just go about life trying to get those met outside of ourselves. And of course, that doesn't work. Now, if we think about a fundamental need, something more fundamental than just love and approval and safety, what would be more fundamental than that would be the need to know what we are, which is fundamental to just human consciousness. Don't you want to know who and what you are and live that and embody that? Well, if we go back, we didn't have a chance for that. And so we've been living in a false consciousness. We've been taking care of other people. Some of us are helpers and we overgive. We literally overgive our time, our money, our resources, overextend ourselves. But in so many ways, we show up false and just do not express what's true for us. Therefore, our authenticity is never online, really. And so we don't know what it's like to live. And then we're suffering to live as what we really are. We're suffering because of it. Because these buried emotions and the unprocessed fear under the water, so to speak, that's what's creating our suffering. And we're terrified and then don't even know how to, in many cases, go under the water where the fear is frozen in our bodies and now feels like the sense of separation. But if, as we transmute that sense of separation, we meet the fundamental need, we discover, oh, well, this is what it would have been like had I been awake to what I am from the beginning. And because now I've processed the buried emotions, or I'm doing that, now I don't have to believe the things I did and suffer the way I did. Now I can just be myself, which is so natural you can't point to it. So for the teachers who point to presence, you can't point to embodied presence. Nobody can point to you being what you are. And it's not just a concept, it's presence, but you can't live and embody that when you have still the root of suffering buried in the body. So it's no longer having the root of suffering, no longer being driven by these unmet needs from childhood and buried emotions that are right there with it, which essentially is fear. Frozen because we have this need for safety. We have the fear of these emotions, fear of things happening, getting hurt. So we don't have any idea until we go to the unconscious level and make that conscious what it's really like. What it's really, really like to give up the whole thing about overgiving to others and under loving ourselves. We just give it up. I don't know how to tell you that that whole thing can end and then we discover what we are, we live it. And it's not like that. It's not the codependency. It's not taking care of other people's feelings. It's not sitting quietly in every conversation. It's not feeling self-conscious. It's not being anxious because you have buried anger. It's not feeling depressed because you can't open to your buried anger, which is your life force. It's not procrastination because that's you holding yourself back to stay safe from the buried emotions. It's not sabotage because we do that to ourselves to stay safe from the buried emotions. It's not seeking because that's trying to get away from the now where the buried emotions are. It's just the now, but it's embodied, which means in relationship. I couldn't just be here now as a person, as a teacher, as a non-person, as a non-teacher. I couldn't just be here now and be free because buried emotions, my buried anger, wouldn't arise as anger. It arose as suffering, as chronic pain, as stories, narrative shadows. So I couldn't just be here now and be free, including in relationship where it matters and in health where it matters. And in my teaching, in my life, where it matters. Because buried emotions don't arise, I couldn't process the things that arose, because all of that is the tip of the iceberg. But I tried all of that as a teacher, as a person. Be here now, process what arises, as if we can get to the root of suffering by processing what arises from the root of suffering, which is below the water. I just kept missing it. And therefore, what really happened is before we developed, well, the answer is repression inquiry, emotional repression inquiry. KI was the answer. But let me make this personal because I'm talking about overgiving to others and under loving myself. And it's not even in the teaching, although it's here too. It was here for years. The codependency and not getting to the root of suffering is part of it, not teaching that doesn't get to the buried emotions that create suffering and create codependency is codependency. But it was bigger in my closer relationships where I just wasn't being my authentic self. I was quiet. It looked like I wasn't suffering, but I was having chronic pain and diseases. That's what I'm telling people. What you see is not what we see at the tip of the iceberg is only what's false. That's our suffering. We have to go below the water to make the unconscious conscious. That's what I did, because in relationship, I was just always trying to stay safe and overgive to others by not even knowing and embodying what I am and underloving myself. So for example, whether it was financially or just trying to help people in different ways that are close to me, family, partner, and feeling compelled to do that for many years. Not knowing where it came from. Having my own addictions and then helping other people. Having treatment centers, helping people with addictions. But also people close to me with mental health issues. And it's all crazy because my suffering was thinking that I could do anything about their suffering. Part of my suffering was that. Well, a big part of it. But you have to live and embody that. You can't hear that. You can't point to that like you can with presence. This is something you have to learn. And I just noticed all my practices. I couldn't just, you know, process what arose or just do nothing with what arises, like the Advaita, Neo-Advaita. All of that just ignores buried emotions, all of it. What I had to do was real relationship work, but skillful. So like, if I find myself just sitting with somebody or when I would and being quiet, I didn't just assume that I had nothing to say, because that's how it works. At the surface, we think that we're showing up here in the way that's really authentic. We've never known any different because of buried emotions. So I go into my body and I would find anger, but it would just be chronic pain. And so I'd have anger about that person, even though I never expressed it. I saw that over and over again. But again, it was chronic pain, and for you it would be some other suffering, depression or some disease. You can find the conditioning in it that's directly connected to buried anger, hurt, sadness. But mine was buried anger, and I noticed that just being quiet was buried anger. Not saying something was often buried anger. Saying something but not what I really felt was buried anger. Being triggered was buried anger. Having a shadow was buried anger. Any kind of an identity of limitation or lack was buried anger. Because buried anger, those fears kept me from experiencing authenticity so I could stay safe and get love, get my needs met. I saw that all my suffering in my life was me trying to get my needs met. Through our utility inquiry, I literally discovered in my experience, and other people have too, that when we suffer with a belief, we, from the unconscious level, the unconscious body, we stay safe and get love that way by believing that that's reality. There's a purpose behind the suffering, and we're creating it unconsciously. It's to get our needs met. It's one way of saying it. And yet, most of us don't even know we're doing it, and I didn't either. I didn't know that when I was, you know, just sitting there quietly with someone, not talking myself, but they're talking constantly and I'm not saying anything. I didn't know that I'm just getting my needs met. I'm getting their love until I went to the repression level and found it with the buried anger. That need for love is right there with holding anger back and then holding your voice back or something that you want to say, like stop. Or just so, like our whole life is that. It's so prevalent. It's like hidden in plain view because the unconscious is here with us always. So like even things when I would say to people, are you okay? Even people close to me, I would go into my body and I would see the fear of anger, their anger. Because we really don't have to take care of other people at all, their feelings or needs. Now, in terms of their needs, and our needs, let's talk about that, because that can sound selfish in the end or something. But if you're like me, and you'll find that if you have buried anger, you don't know what your real needs are or have been. You have a need for love and safety, essentially approval, and it's driving everything. But you're not aware of it, because to be aware of it, you would have to go to buried anger if that's your repression. See that? So in a relationship, you might have triggers. But like the trigger of I'm unlovable is just that need for love that doesn't get met, but you don't express that need. See how we're in a relationship? Unconsciously, we need love. But do you ever say when you first meet someone, oh, I need love, indiscriminately so, and you look like someone who I could get that from? We're just not that conscious. And even if we were, is that a really good dating line? I don't know. But see, that would be honest if we get into a relationship and we start talking about needs. Because once we put it in the mind, like I need respect and mutuality and communication, that's true. But under that, you actually are holding back hurt, sadness, and anger, and you need safety from those emotions and you need love from other people because you don't know yourself. But who talks about that? Well, we should, because that's true. Or we process it. So we don't think that we're going to meet each other's needs. But we are going to continue to suffer if we keep those needs buried with the buried emotions and then have relationship. Because we'll be trying to get our needs met. And those needs become unconscious demands on others. And then they don't live up to what we don't know we have and what we're demanding. And then we get triggered. And we might even think it's them. But that keeps us safe from what we've buried. Or a shadow may come up and we may really think that our partner is a certain way, but we also don't know that at that moment we're really, really hurt because we've buried it and we don't feel it. We just feel a contraction at the very core, or buried anger at the very core. So we might feel hurt at the surface because it's safer. We always have to see that what's arising now is not arising for no reason. It's there because it's safer. It gets us love. Our needs are met through suffering and through showing up authentically in a relationship. But then that begs the question, does it always have to be that way? No, because suffering can end, but do we get our needs met from each other? Good luck with that. That's all I have to say. Report back to me. Here's what I found. So I know exactly why I suffered in relationship now. I know why I felt like someone who was unlovable, because I had a need for love and it was unconscious. It was buried in my body with the buried anger. Until I got to that buried anger, that need for love couldn't be incorporated into authentic being and just being love. Being love and no longer putting that need on people. Like, I need that from you. And that changed the dynamic of my relationships, and me, of course, is why the relationships changed. And then I got free of the suffering because of that, including the need for safety, because if you reverse anger repression, you can defend yourself. You don't need other people to keep you safe. So that provides the safety and the power that you need to have vulnerability and all the other qualities that are quite natural for an anger repressing codependent like me, a reformed martyr, as me and Dan call it. Where you don't do that. I don't do that in relationship at all. You'll see. I don't carry people. I don't put more energy into a relationship than you do. And if I see that starting to happen, I would just stop and talk to you. I wouldn't even do it. Because that's another thing. The reason I felt unlovable is I kept needing love and going after people or into relationships which were meant to fail because I had trauma and I was sabotaging it. I was bound to feel unlovable in all those relationships because I had to produce that to stay safe. So it was the sabotage that my system was producing. But I just didn't know it was from buried anger. And so when I look back at the Scott who was good, had to be good and peaceful, I don't know him. I don't know that. But I'm better, speaking of good, and more at peace than ever. It's not a compulsion. So I don't have to help you or save you or be quiet with you or not say no to you or have boundaries. Or I can have myself. I don't have to underlove myself by showing up with you to get your love, the love that I can't get from you anyway, because that's me. And I don't know how else to say it before I go. It's spiritual, but it's also practical. These are parts of ourselves that we bury. This is what creates our codependency with others. And as once we own these parts of ourselves, the main stuff that we buried and the unmet needs get turned into authentic being. We don't live that way anymore. I don't live that way. But you know what will keep a lot of people who have codependency from doing this work is the rewards, the social relational rewards, not just getting love by holding anger back. That's enough. But just like in relationship, how that shows up. Like, you know, if you stay quiet, you're a good listener. But what we'll show you here in KI is that as an anger repressor, when you're staying quiet, you're in at least somewhat of a freeze and you can't listen. And you appear at the surface as if you're a good listener because you have to get love. These are the things that nobody wants to hear unless you're really ready to be free. And most people don't want to hear it because they're getting too many rewards from it. You know, but most people want to kind of manage their suffering, get their rewards and manage the suffering on the side. We're just ending the suffering here by seeing how we create it in each moment. I hope that you also don't fall for the, before I go, the resentment trap. Let me explain that before I go. When I hear people talk about codependency, I hear the word resentment. That's people who don't know yet that they have buried anger. That anger is a euphemism for, resentment is a euphemism for anger, but that's buried. And as long as people who are taking care of other people or being false or people-pleasing or doing something like that because of buried anger, they'll never feel the buried anger. So at the surface, it just feels like resentment. It's just like something seeping into the surface at the tip of the iceberg. But it's not the actual anger. It's coming in as a safe form. And we have to be really careful thinking that it's resentment because it's actually rage from childhood because your needs weren't met. That's real. That's not just resentment. That's rage that you carry in your body that's creating all this suffering that we call codependency. Now, here's the other thing. Last thing, I promise. Before you walk into the next room thinking that you can just be your authentic self, you can't. And I hate to burst that bubble, but a lot of people are telling you that you can set boundaries and you can just do this, that, and the other and then live free or have whatever. But you can't because this is trauma. This is survival. What's buried in our bodies governs everything. So we really do have to process the buried emotions. And then we just are ourselves. Boundaries come naturally. You don't have to be taught how to do that. You can be taught how to phrase things. But the energy behind things is what you need. And whether we're hiding that energy in chronic fatigue or depression or procrastination, we need that life force just to for different voice inflection and emotional expression with people so they can hear us and feel us at the same time, including when we're angry or when we're hurt or when we're afraid. Once we can feel and express all aspects of us, other people can see all aspects of us, and it's safer for them to be more authentic with us. If you're interested in that, I've got a 90-day authenticity challenge. I call it a challenge sometimes because it's actually called an intensive, but I call it a challenge to challenge you because it's just safer and easier not to do work like this to the mind that seeks safety, but to what you really are, like something deeper than that, that resonates with certain things that I say, you know you want to be free of this, even if you get reward from it. But you do have to take a step towards this work. And I've made it easy for you. I actually follow James Clear's work, Atomic Habits, when I work with people in the intensive to help them create really healthy habits, not just with inquiry, but in life, that are actually realistic and that are coming from your authenticity, real authentic habits, which end up being healthy. But one of them is just making it easy, you know? And when I start with people in the intensive, I make inquiry very easy to enter into. And I'll show you what I mean when I work with you. But come talk to me first and I'll explain it. And I've made it easy for you to come talk to me by making this a free one-on-one chat. The link for that is in the description. You have to scroll down past the Jumpstarter group and get to the free one-on-one consultation with Scott, about 20 minutes. Please be ready or considering a one-on-one program with me before you do that. But then at the top of the page, you'll see the KI Jumpstarter group. And that's for everybody who doesn't want to come talk to me. You don't even have to like me. Just come to my group that starts December 1st and listen and learn the work and get started on it. Or maybe you're just shy or you have avoidant tendencies. You don't want to talk or perform. You don't have to do any of that. You don't have to get angry in front of anyone. You don't have to talk about your life. You can just come and learn the tools. KI Jumpstarter, that's also on the link in the description. Thank you for listening.